From Foreign Policy, I'm Sarah Wildman, and this is First Person. This week, the Jerusalem murder that touched off a war. In the summer of 2014, three Israeli teens disappeared while hitchhiking in the occupied West Bank. Their bodies were found after 18 days of trauma and suspense for much of the country. They had been abducted and killed by Palestinian militants.
Today, soldiers found the bodies of 16-year-old Naftali Frankel and his two teenaged friends, Gilad Shaar, 16, and Eyal Yifrak, 19. The three had been hitchhiking home.
Days later, a group of Israelis kidnapped and killed a Palestinian teenager from East Jerusalem in an act of revenge.
The teenager was taken in the early hours of Wednesday morning. Hours later, his body was found burned. According to a Palestinian doctor present at the autopsy, the boy was alive when he was set on fire. There's a lot of anger among...
The story of the murders, which helped precipitate a war between Israel and Gaza, is told in a 10-part drama series now airing on HBO called Our Boys. The show was created jointly by three filmmakers, two Israeli and one Palestinian, Haggai Levy, Joseph Cedar, and Tawfiq Abuel. One of the three, Haggai Levy, is with us today. Haggai, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
So before we get into the series, I actually want to ask you how you and your co-creators, how did you decide to focus on this series of events from the summer of 2014, a very terrible series of events?
Well, it started with HBO themselves. They sent me a link to a New York Times article about the trial of the murderers of Muhammad Abukhdir. That was a year into the trial, which was summer of 2015, and asked me if I could be interested in doing a series about this summer, about this case. So it took me some time to decide. It's not totally up to my alley. I'm doing very intimate shows about relationship and so.
How is this different from what you'd done before?
Well, I did a series like In Treatment or The Affair. They're based on relationship between people who in the area of men and women relationship, psychology, stuff like that. This is a political thriller. This is what we had to do here. I mean, that was quite obvious that this is the way to treat this task.
For our listeners who might not know what happened that summer, tell us what happened.
So you could start in so many points, but let's start with beginning of June, where three Jewish students were kidnapped from some junction in the West Bank. They were kidnapped, they just didn't get home, and for 18 days, the whole country were looking for them. That was a huge deal. Live coverage, constant live coverage, prayers, rallies, a lot of stuff, and in a way it united the whole country with hope, because there was a hope that they will come back alive. And of course the army invaded all the cities and arrested a lot of people to find and kind of also used this case in order to re-arrest a lot of people who were went out of prison a couple of months before. 18 days later, they were found dead, and apparently they died minutes after they were kidnapped. So that combination of hope and then, you know, these tragic consequences created a very hard day in Israel, a lot of demonstration, a lot of calling for revenge. And after the funeral, there was another big, big demonstration in the center of Jerusalem. And on the morning after, a young Arab teen disappeared. And 2 hours later, they found their body burnt to death in forests of Jerusalem. Jerusalem Forest is called, which is in the west side of Jerusalem, which is far away from where he was kidnapped, which is East Jerusalem, a neighborhood called Shuafat. So it was quite quick investigation. They found the killers after 4 days. Apparently, they were people who were not known as extremists. There were no violence in the past, no political background, nothing. But what happened after the murder is that Hamas started again to throw rockets all over Israel and...
From Gaza.
From Gaza. So a couple of days later, a war started. The Gaza war... which took like 2 months, I think. So those three events framed this summer, the kidnapping, the murder, and the war.
There's often violence in Jerusalem. There's often violence in Israel, the West Bank, and in Gaza. Why did these kidnappings and this murder stir so much emotion?
Right. What we hear and what we think is that usually when there is a terror attack and you know, a guy or a family even is killed, it just happened. And then, you know, here you had 3 weeks of getting attached to these three really wonderful boys and their wonderful families, actually. Their mothers became very, very important figures in Israel. They spoke and they were lovely and they were heartbreaking. So people get attached to these kids and as if they are kids of all of us. So when they found dead, the rage was totally different than any other terror attack. On the other hand, the execution of this Arab boy was so brutal, which was never seen before. Like, they kidnapped him, they strangled him, they beat him to death, and then they burned him. So that was so brutal. It never happened before. That created a lot of rage in Jerusalem, a lot of demonstration, a lot of riots.
Was there disbelief that it had been as brutal as it was?
Well, the disbelief was whether Jews did it at all. Mm-hmm. You know, there were rumors at the first day that it was done because of family affairs. There were rumors he was gay, you know, all kind of rumors just to cope with the dissonance of how could Jews do such a thing, you know, in the Israeli terms. There are people that to this day believe that Jews didn't do it, you know, so.
Even despite the trial?
Yeah, despite the trial, despite of everything, you know.
So you mentioned earlier that HBO reached out to you. Why did HBO commission this series?
Michael Lombardo, who was by then was the president, he was, I don't know, something in this story captured his, I think, you know, sometimes I think because the way he was murdered is kind of echoing, you know, Lynch in the South of America, perhaps, you know, like young boy, very gentle one, taken into the forest, burnt, you know, he's echoing, maybe. It was a rare case, and the idea that a very specific murder created war. You know, it's just a small murder, and then a week later, there is a war with thousands of casualties. This is unbelievable.
So the series is very faithful to the events that actually took place. How did you go about researching it?
So we've met with all the parties involved. You know, we went to the Shin Bet, which is the FBI, and the police were investigating the whole thing together. We went to the lawyers who gave us a lot of materials. We went to the Abu Khdir family, of course. We teamed up with Tawfiq Abu Wael, who is a Palestinian director and writer.
Had you decided from the outset that it would be a joint Israeli-Palestinian?
Well, the moment we understood that this is going to be the story, because we played with other stories before, mm-hmm. You know, not with other stories, but that was other framework, I would say. I mean, we thought in the beginning that going to be a more fictional series that, you know, vaguely based on some events and that will focus more on the extremist settlers, you know. Mm-hmm. And then when we found out that this is the case and it's going to be like a true crime story about this case, and we knew that there is a huge part of the series that's going to be the Palestinian side, we knew that we have to cooperate with the Palestinian director who knows it from the inside. So we went together with Tawfiq to the family, to his parents, Muhammad Abu Khdir's parents.
Was the Abu Khdir family, were they immediately interested?
Well, they trusted Tawfiq. You know, it was quite obvious in the meeting that, mm-hmm. that they wouldn't trust us, me and Joseph, or other Jews who are. But they identify Tawfiq as someone who will be faithful and that they can count on him.
Who was the hardest to get close to? Who was most resistant?
The killer. The killers. We tried to meet with the killers. We actually saw them in jail and we saw them in the court in another legal procedure. But their families didn't want to cooperate, neither themselves. So we had a lot of materials about them from mm-hmm. the lawyers because the lawyers kind of felt that we're going to show the complexity of this case and not like judge them. But they didn't want to meet. So
And two of them are minors.
Two of them were minors, yeah, mm-hmm. 16 and a half. Mm-hmm. They're not minors anymore, but their names are, of course, secret to the end of their life. So,
how did you make a decision to create certain composite characters? For example, I believe the psychiatrist herself is not one person. But there's also another character that I'm curious about, which was there was a member of the Abu Khadir family. It's an enormous family from Jerusalem who had come from America that summer.
Right.
He doesn't appear in the series, or perhaps he's the role of the brother seems to me.
So maybe you mean Muhammad Abu Khadir's cousin came from, they live in New Jersey. There is a branch of the family who lives in New Jersey. His cousin came to Israel, and it was a famous case where he was beaten badly by soldiers. We took this story and gave it to Abu Khadir, to Muhammad's brother, actually. Mm-hmm. There is a scene where he is beaten.
And so, he spends several episodes quite beaten up.
Yeah, exactly. So we couldn't deal with the whole aspects of the case, but we tried to take element and combine them, as with the psychologist and with the main character, actually, which is the investigator.
How did you decide to make that investigator from a religious family?
That was quite early that we knew that his internal conflict would mm-hmm. be that he would come from the same background. So in the beginning, it was like he was a settler even. But we knew from the very beginning that his journey would to find out that the killers come from his own community. And that at a certain point, he will have to go against his own community, so to speak. And that's actually, it was not far from the truth. You know, we met with some high-ranked Shabak people, and they were, you know, lived in quite the same cities, you know, suburbians that the killers come from. You know, they lived there, I think, 20 years earlier, which was different. Mm-hmm. Now those cities become very, very ultra-Orthodox, and the whole phenomenon of ultra-Orthodox Mizrahim in Israel, which maybe you can explain it, was not there when they grew up.
And you're referring to the ultra-Orthodox who come from a Sephardi background.
Exactly. There are hundreds of thousands of them that are under any radar, you know. Mm-hmm. They live in Beit Shemesh, in these suburbians, in Beit Taglit, huge cities, some of them in the West Bank, but they're not political in any way. It's a strange and specific phenomenon where there's a lot of distress, and they suffer themselves from segregation in their own world, you know.
So. Well, and you mentioned in the film, I mean, what's interesting is there are all these layers of tension, right? How did you decide to focus the whole series on everything that happens after the murder of Muhammad Abu Khadir, as opposed to backing up and being perhaps at the time of the abduction? You know, the abduction of the three Jewish teens happens at the very beginning of the series, and it sets up the beginning. But you don't, as the audience, see as much of that as you do the rest of the investigation. Mm-hmm. How did you make that choice?
Well, we had to choose a story. And the story is very specific and is very clear. You know, it's the story of the killing of Muhammad Abu Khadir. So the abduction is kind of a background to this story. So we showed this background quite detailed in the first episode, but it's not the story. The story is about Israeli killers, and the story about how the people of Israel cope with this kind of murder, you know. So we could make these two stories together, and we got a lot of criticism about it because people expected before and even during the first episodes that would be the story. But it's exactly what happens to our main character, which in the first episode, when everybody's praying and waiting and, you know, he is on another track, like waiting for what's going to happen or afraid of what's going to happen in the day after. They'll find them because they know they'll find them dead already. So this is the story. We could make another story about the abduction. In that case, by the way, we would have shown the motives of the killers, of terrorists, Hamas terrorists who abduct them, which was, I think, would be even harder to Israeli audience, you know, to understand those people's motives, life, because after fixes all the time, the story doesn't begin with the abduction. It begins with the occupation, right? And with the sort of apartheid that there is in Hebron, where they came from. So we chose this point to start the story.
Tell me about the choice of the name, Our Boys. How did you come up with
right.
the name?
It happened quite later on the process. We had a couple of names before. The first name was Stray Weeds, and we felt very early on that this is not the right name because they are not, you know, they are inside society. At a certain point, we wanted to say something about the idea that they are all teens from both sides, you know, mm-hmm. the three kidnapped, the Arab kids, the kidnappers, the killers, which was very, very interesting, you know, and the word in Hebrew, Hanearim, the boys, actually, the name in Hebrew is the boys, not our boys, kind of echoed like biblical meaning, which we liked. We wanted to say something about the mythology of the story.
I mean, it does. It has sort of resonance. I mean, there is a character at one point, the psychiatrist speaks about Cain
yeah.
in the Bible and the sense of the burden
exactly.
he carries.
Yeah, we felt that this is a story with a much larger scope mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. much larger... kind of mythological aspects, yeah.
So the series has received a number of accolades and praise, but it's also been criticized
yeah.
from the right and from Prime Minister Netanyahu himself,
yeah.
who called for a boycott
yeah.
of the series and of the channel, and he called it anti-Semitic.
Yeah, which was weird, by the way, right? I mean, I could understand a lot of things, but why anti-Semitic? I couldn't understand that much. Perhaps he meant that he could provoke anti-Semitism, which I could understand at least. Most of the reactions from the right wing were totally legitimate. This is the way I see it. You know, it is hard to understand why would you take such a rare case of Jewish terrorism and make a series just about it and not about the Arab, the Palestinian terrorism, which is in much larger phenomenon, right? Unless you take into consideration that the Israeli has an army who is doing the killing for him. So, but that's a fair criticism, you know. And there was an expectation, we were not totally aware of how much people were expecting to get a show about the three abducted boys, you know. And when they found out that it's not about it, they were so disappointed. So there were kind of a rage and criticism, which again, you know, most of it were legitimate and we had to cope with it because this is our job. There was some threats which were, you know, uneasy, but it's not like, I cannot say that I was really afraid, but it was not nice. People calling to kill you or... off with your heads, with your pictures on posts and everything. And then came Bibi. In a way, well, it must be said that that's the best thing that happened to the series, you know, the whole thing with Prime Minister Netanyahu's call for boycotting, that became an item for itself. It created a lot of interest around the series, and a lot of people watched it because of that. Not too many didn't watch it because of that.
How did the families of the victims on both sides respond to the series?
So the families of the three abducted kids, we were in touch with them. On a very early point, me and Joseph Cedar went to their house and explained to them that the series is about this and not about that, which was hard for them, and they're still having a hard time with the series. They didn't watch it. I mean, they didn't want to watch it. And I could totally understand it. It's the hardest thing for me, their disappointment or sorrow about this series. Being myself from a bereaved family, you know, my brother died in Lebanon, so I could totally understand their point of view. But still, we did what we did, you know. So that's one side. The families of the killers, we just don't know. They're not in touch with us. And the Abu Khadir family, we're not in direct connection with them. They didn't want that much to be in contact. We know that they watched the first two episodes and it was so hard for them and they cried a lot and they felt that the actor who played Abu Khadir is very similar to their son, which was horrible for them.
I don't want to give anything away, but it's a series about internal psychology as much as it's about anything else. The violence is in the background.
Totally.
And the internal conflict.
Comparing to the violence you see today on television, it's nothing. And you're totally right. I mean, at a certain point, we understood that this is much more of a universal examination of hate crime, and it's not that specifically Israeli story. And we wanted to show and to explore all the layers of every hate crime.
But to that end, what do you think our boys... What does it tell us broadly about both the Israel-Palestine conflict, but also about Israel's conflict within itself?
For me, the main thing was to say to people, this is complicated. First, people are so used to think in the black and white terms about these things. So first of all, this is so complicated, okay? The other element is that people in Israel sometimes see the loss of Palestinians in a different way. In a way, they think it's easier for them. In a way, they feel that when they lose their sons or parents or whatever, well, but it's easier for them because they are willing to sacrifice whatever. So when Israeli people saw this story of bereaved family, their agony, their, you know, just like any other family, that was a very important thing that will be taken away from that series, I think. The third point is maybe the most complicated one, is to understand that those currents, hidden currents in the Israel societies are there, you know. It's very easy to spot those right-wing extremists living in the hills, whatever. The much more problematic is those currents that within the country itself, within a lot of people, you know, not only few people, crazy people.
But you do have a number of characters who do the right thing, who have a moral core.
Yeah. When we investigated this case, when we researched it, we met with all these people, and it was moving to see how they were determined to find them, to punish them, because you have to say that, you know, most of the people, 99% or more of the people of Israel, were so shocked and despite this thing. So, but those people, you know, from the Shabak, from the police, from the legal system, they were not political in any way. They just wanted to do the right thing, as you said. Sometimes when, you know, people in Israel, especially from the left, think that those people are quite biased somehow to our side. But that wasn't the case. You felt that they are good people. And that, for me, was what a lot of people missed, because they didn't see the whole series, that this series is saying something very positive about Israel and about the systems, the justice systems of Israel. It's so clear if you see the series.
Okay, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Hagai Levy, producer of the HBO Keshet series Our Boys, which was created by Joseph Cedar, Tawfiq Abouel, and Levy. We'll be posting a bonus interview with his co-director, Tawfiq Abouel, in our feed. First Person is produced by me, Sarah Wildman, along with help from Benjamin Soloway and Anise Modi. Our editor is Rob Sachs, and our executive editor for News and Podcasts is Dan Efron. If you like this episode, please subscribe, tell your friends, and come back next week. We'll have a new episode.